Come from the book of Philippians. We're in the second chapter, starting with verse 5, reading through verse 11. These are well-known, I think, and well-loved words of Paul, and as you hear them, listen in them for what God says to us through them today. Friends, in your relationship with one another, have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be exploited. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even to death, death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord. Pray with me. Lord, as we continue to consider the gift given to us in the birth of Christ, may it fill us with his truth, that Christmas might live on in us despite the calendar. And as we gather for worship in this place, may it not be the number of the gathering, but the depth of our love and our faith and our service. Speak to us now, for among all the things we need, your word we need most. Christ, we pray. Amen. So have you ever felt empty, been just worn out to the point that you feel like you have nothing left? In cycling, we call it bonking, B-O-N-K. Bonking is essentially when you've used up your body's fuel. It usually happens on a long ride where you're putting out energy and you haven't been eating enough. And eventually, you run through your stores and you're done. It is a horrible feeling. Your legs feel like they weigh 100 pounds each. There is no gas in the tank. You get dizzy. You get weak. Sometimes you may get the chills or the sweats. Physically speaking, it happens when you're out of calories, so you typically don't have food with you. So the other thing that happens when you bonk is you get ravenously hungry. You start looking in the road ditches. Did anyone throw away part of a sandwich? Is there any roadkill you could snack on? You overdo the output without any input, and it leaves you broken. You hit the wall, and you either call for a ride home, or you ride home at about 2 miles an hour, because at that point, your reserves are depleted. So even when you get to eat, it's going to take several hours to put anything back in your system. And typically, it takes a couple of days off the bike resting to recover. Well, when I think of bonking, it turns out it's not just on the bicycle. Sometimes it happens in life. Have you ever been empty, where just the energy to face the day seemed like a stretch? And I'm not talking depression, and I'm not even talking sadness. I don't mean mental health, where you feel like you can't go on with life as it is. If that is ever the case, get help immediately. Talk to somebody. I mean you've used up your reserves. You're running ragged, you're running on fumes, and you don't have anything left. People sometimes come into the office and they say, I'm just so tired of the way things are. And often what we mean when we say that is, I'm tired of the way that I am. And I think to myself, they're bonking. They're hitting the wall. They're using energy and they're not replacing it. And I've been there personally. in Texas at the time of our life when we had young kids and busy jobs and lots of stuff going on, I was one day driving to work when I just pulled over. I didn't want to go, but I didn't want to go home either. I didn't want to do anything. I couldn't make one more decision. I felt exhausted, like I had nothing left, and I just sat there for a while in the truck, worn out. It's like you've used up everything you have, but you still have stuff to do. And you have to figure out how to keep going. It's ironic, less than a week after announcing the birth of Christ and the hope of Christmas and joy to the world, that many, in the aftermath of traveling and eating and spending and running around, are left exhausted, are left just worn out. I have a theory that that's why people like the candlelight service and singing Silent Night so much, because for many of them, it's the first time they've been still in weeks. But it's not just Christmas. Through the years, many people have told me that they like coming to church because it, quote, fills them up. That they get through the week and the tank gets empty, so they show up on Sunday for a refill or a recharge, like you would go to the gas station. And honestly, I've never loved that language because it kind of talks about worship as what we get out of it. It kind of makes it about us. But when I think of it in terms of emptiness and getting filled, it's not so bad. And I think I understand what they mean. It is possible, though, that there are some upsides to being empty. Physically, they found out if it's not done too often, bonking can actually strengthen the body. It helps it process fuel efficiently. It teaches you the signs of when it's about to happen so you can avoid it. In fact, there are a group of people who advocate something called bonk training, where they do it on purpose. Every few weeks, they'll take off for hours on the bike with no food until they put themselves in that state, which seems stupid. Mentally, being empty is a warning when you need to back off or when you're focusing on the wrong things. It's a sign that we're getting tired. We're losing focus. It may also be that we're building bad patterns. It's a sign we need rest, but sometimes we need more than rest. We need to reframe our mindset. There's a story about a man who lived in a small village, and life was getting to him, so he went to visit his local rabbi, and he said, "Rabbi, I don't think I can take it any longer. My wife and I live in this small house. We have four kids. They drive us crazy. It's loud. It's busy. I can't deal with it." The rabbi said, "Do you have a goat?" He said, "Yeah, we have a goat." He said, "I want you to bring the goat in the house with you." A week later, the man came back. He said, "Rabbi, it's worse than it was before. Now we've got a goat in the house. It's even noisier. Now it stinks. Can't take it." The rabbi said, "You have any chickens?" Man said, "Yeah, we have six chickens." He said, "Bring them in the house." A week later, the man drags himself in, barely gets through the door. He says, "Rabbi, I'm done. We got a goat, we got chickens, we got kids. I can't do it anymore." The rabbi says, "Yeah, maybe you should take the goat out the house. Put the goat back outside." A week later, the man came in. "Rabbi, it's a little better, but the chickens are still driving me nuts." The rabbi says, "Yeah, it's probably time to put the chickens outside." The next week, the man comes in, smiling, happy. He says, "Rabbi, you're a genius. My house is paradise. I am blessed." It is surprising how often the truth is that emptiness is self-induced. Most of the time, we do it to ourselves. We have these unrealistic expectations of what we can do, what we should do. We're overcommitted. We get no rest. And I think some of what makes us tired is that somewhere our spirit in us knows how much time and effort we're burning chasing things that ultimately aren't that important. And since those things can't really fill us up, we end up empty. It's not always a bad thing. In a piece called Meditations for Christians Who Try to Be Perfect, Joan Webb wrote these words: "Years ago, I asked God to fill my cup, but it seemed instead he ate my lunch. As I saw my dreams fading, I worked harder and harder to hold on to everything, and eventually I burned out, and I wondered where God was and why he let it happen. But now, as I look back, I wonder if God couldn't fill my cup because I already had so much stuff in it. I wanted to accomplish great things, but I had my own ideas. Perhaps God had to wait for my cup to empty before he could fill it with his plan. When we admit our need and ask God for help, it's like emptying our cups. But emptiness, though uncomfortable, is a necessary prerequisite for being filled." Which is finally the best news about being empty. Though it feels bad, it can be a good thing. In addition to being one of Michael's favorite passages, our scripture from Philippians this morning is one of the masterpieces of scripture. Many think it's part of a hymn or a liturgy of the early church. Some argue that Paul wrote it. Others say that he borrowed it from the church. No one knows, but in most Bibles, it's inset like a poem or song lyrics. It's one of the Bible's signature celebrations of the work and person of Jesus Christ. It is beautifully written and unique. It praises Christ not only for what he did, which lots of scripture does, but it praises him for what he didn't do. In fact, it starts there. He did not consider his status a thing to be exploited. He didn't consider equality with God a thing to use selfishly. He didn't trade on his divinity for his own gain. Instead, he became like a servant. It says he emptied himself, and this is the word I want to talk with you about. The word here in Greek is kenoa or kenos, and it literally means to pour out, to make empty. Paul praises Jesus for giving himself to the point of emptiness, giving everything he had. In humility, Jesus gave himself to and for others, even to the point of death, death on a cross. And of this action, Paul says, "Let the mind be in you that we see in him." Imitate the one who gave himself in humble service to others. And this is the good news about being empty. If it's the right kind of empty, not the kind that takes on too much and makes ourselves the center of the world, that's on us. But if it's the kind of empty that happens when we give of ourselves in humble service to others, it's a good thing. It means that we are doing what Jesus did. If we stay full all the time, it's because we are keeping too much of ourselves. We should get empty occasionally, because it means that some of our time and our talent and our treasure is landing in the lives of other people. We are giving. That's the kind of emptiness we're after, the kind we see in Jesus. He gave himself. And interestingly, that kind of giving doesn't usually leave us paralyzed with fatigue, but it energizes us. That kind of emptying, amazingly, tends to fill our tanks rather than bottom them out. theology professor named Belden Lane says it this way: God can only be met in emptiness by those who come in love, abandoning all effort to control and every need to impress. God of the Bible is an elusive one. The only guarantee of his presence is his own promise to be near those who empty themselves in trust. As the echoes of Christmas begin to fade and we move into 2020, with all the good and the bad and the uncertainty it brings, let us, as followers of Jesus Christ, commit in this new year to be the right kind of empty. Not the kind that we create by overdoing it and seeking control and using busyness to hide from ourselves and others and God. Not chasing the next thing or the next step or the next stop, but by giving ourselves to others in humble service. What we see in Jesus. Let us move into the future in the name above all names, seeking the mind we see in him. Holding on to the blessings of our lives loosely, ready to share. Serving with humility. And giving of ourselves to others as a way of giving ourselves to Jesus. That in emptying us, we might be filled with him. Amen.